news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
And winter is coming.
Winter is here. Many forces converge on Monday, December 21st. It's the winter solstice, the shortest day, longest night of the year. A good night to see something that hasn't happened, at least this spectacularly, in 800 years. It's the Great Conjunction, what some will call the Christmas star. It'll be visible in the night sky as Jupiter and Saturn will appear so closely aligned that they'll look like a double planet. That it's happening during the winter solstice is pure coincidence, so we're told. At a time when the world is in turmoil, thanks to a global pandemic, and our nation is struggling through the final days of a mad president, and we're all looking for something bigger to hold on to. 30 days and counting. After 9 months of Americans suffering not only the primary effects of the coronavirus pandemic, but the devastating secondary economic effects, over the weekend, Congress finally struck a deal on a $900 billion COVID relief bill. On Sunday night, they passed another short-term continuing resolution to keep the government up and running until they could pass the final package, which not only contains the COVID relief bill, but the $1.4 trillion federal omnibus spending bill to keep it funded through September of 2021. They said they were hoping to vote on it mid-morning Monday, but at the time of this writing, early Monday morning, there's no text. What we do know is that this is an extremely pared-down version of what had been proposed over the past few months, and a fraction of what the House passed in the HEROES Act back in May, which Mitch McConnell refused to even bring to the floor for a vote. This bill will include individual checks of $600 to working-class American adults, an amount many decry as an insult. Direct aid to states, a Democratic priority, and liability protections for companies, a Republican priority, were both left out of this legislation. The bill does include $300 weekly federal enhancement in unemployment benefits for 11 weeks, from the end of December through the middle of March under the deal. This amount is half of the earlier federal boost, which ran out at the end of July. It also calls for extensions of two other pandemic unemployment programs that were created in the CARES Act last March. Both of those are currently set to expire at the end of this week, affecting an estimated 12 million people. The Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program expands jobless benefits to gig workers, freelancers, independent contractors, the self-employed, and certain people affected by the coronavirus, though from personal experience, I can tell you that, at least in Florida, it is impossible to access that help. Then there's the Pandemic Emergency Unemployment Compensation Program, which provides an additional 13 weeks of payments to those who exhaust their regular state benefits. Both of these programs would close to new applicants in the middle of March and then phase out in early April for existing claimants. This bill would also reopen the Paycheck Protection Program so that some of the hardest hit small businesses can apply for a second loan. The program stopped taking applications for the first round in August. And although there's no help for state and local governments, Donald Trump's priority was being able to write off a three-martini lunch. And no, I'm not kidding. Critics of this bill are already slamming the unbalanced distribution of the nation's resources in a draft of the new financial relief package. Regular workers, meanwhile, will get just $600 in stimulus cash from the government, which could be the equivalent of one bill for a single one of those three martini corporate executive lunches. Just saying. So, vaccine rollout is moving along. President-elect Joe and Dr. Jill Biden get vaccinated on Monday. A federal advisory panel on Sunday said that the next group to be inoculated will consist of frontline workers, including teachers, daycare staff, and grocery store employees. Under the recommendation by the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, these groups, totaling about 49 million people, would be eligible for vaccinations after those in the first priority group, which include healthcare workers and people living in long-term care facilities, get theirs. The panel's recommendations came as trucks delivered the first doses of Moderna's vaccine, which on Friday became the second after Pfizer's to receive emergency use authorization from federal regulators. But there's lots of disgust on social media and elsewhere over the weekend as regular people following the rules in pandemic protocol are bristling, seeing Republican members of Congress and the Senate who shunned masks and precautions getting vaccinated at the front of the line. And then there's Donald Trump. He's still trying to overturn the results of the election, despite there being only 1 month left until President-elect Joe Biden is inaugurated. But the latest turn in the effort has alarmed even some White House staffers. The New York Times' Maggie Haberman appeared on CNN's New Day Monday morning, reporting on a disturbing Oval Office meeting that happened Friday night.
Even the mere possibility that the president was asking about military intervention is, of course, a big deal. We have had many fire alarms over 4 years, and I think, frankly, people have become numb to what they hear about this president doing. This meeting was different, and it was different in part because of what he was saying, and in part because a number of people who are typically, in the president's camp, who have been for a long time, who have favored a lot of his loyalty purges and so forth, were alarmed by what he was talking about. And that, I think, is something else that viewers ought to understand of what we're talking about. He also was pitched on this executive order that came up again at the White House last night about seizing voting machines to examine them. And he considered appointing Sidney Powell, who has made all kinds of wild and baseless claims about widespread fraud in the election, as a special counsel serving inside the White House. This was a many hours long meeting. People were screaming at each other. Basically, everybody was opposed to what Sidney Powell and Michael Flynn, the former national security advisor, who called on the president to invoke the military on TV last week, was also present. This was a wild moment.
Donald Trump dismissed the Times reports about his talk of martial law, but even the mention of it could fan the flames among his supporters, clinging to the belief that the election result was fraudulent. And he just won't stop. Undeterred by dismissals and admonition from judges, Trump's campaign says it has filed yet another petition with the Supreme Court. This one seeks to reverse 3 Pennsylvania Supreme Court cases having to do with mail-in ballots and asks the court to reject the voters' will and allow the Pennsylvania General Assembly to pick its own slate of electors. Oh, my God. And finally, on Monday morning, in what is likely to be Attorney General William Barr's last news conference as Attorney General, he said there's no basis for seizing voting machines, for using special counsels for election fraud, or for Hunter Biden. I'm sure Donald Trump's going to love that one. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.